Good morning and welcome to our service this morning. My name is Norman from Alive. Before we begin, I'm just going to pray. Father, Lord of all creation, we thank you for your love, we thank you for your mercy. And as we spend this time together, as we sing your praise, as we look into your word, Holy Spirit, come and anoint us, encourage us, and show us more of who you are for your glory. Amen. So we're going to continue by singing our first song.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand hath made, I see the stars, I hear the mighty thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son, scarce can take it in, that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great
those of you from the Alive family will be aware that on the third Sunday of each month, we pray for children from Compassion. As a church congregation, we support directly six children from Compassion projects in Kenya. Those children's names are Baraka, Caleb, Tina or Christine, Mercy, Ryan and Sifa. There's also two children who have left the project, who we still remember in our prayers, although we currently don't support them financially, those being Hatim and Elvis. Much the same as in the UK, we're in lockdown, movement is restricted, and life is not like anything that we've come to believe or understand to be normal. So it's the same worldwide. And a number of the Compassion projects and the schools are closed. So Compassion staff around the world are still looking for different ways to support the children that are in their project. And so, as is our normal way, I shall pray for those and the project. But what I would say is go to the Compassion website, compassionuk.org. There are lots of tips and helps and guides as to how to pray for the work of Compassion around the world at this time. Things are not as they would expect to be, but that doesn't mean to say that the work of Compassion, the work of the people that our Father is inspired and encouraged to help people around the world stops. Much like us in the United Kingdom, much like us in our own homes, we have to find new ways of doing things. And so the same for them. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for the work of Compassion. Father, we thank you for the people that feel called to serve around the world, to help those disadvantaged and those in need. And we pray specifically for the Compassion children that we as a congregation Alive support. Father, that you would first and foremost keep them safe, Father, and you would protect them from the coronavirus, Father. That you would protect them from any ill effects, Lord, arising from the changes in life at the moment. Lord, that for the Compassion workers on the ground, Lord, that you would give them new and innovative ideas as to how to support the communities that they are used to working in. Lord, that most of all, the name of Jesus would be lifted high and glorified. That these children, Father, would still understand that there is a Father in heaven who loves them, who supports them. And there are people around the world who are praying for them and who are encouraging them to achieve all that they can be. Father, once again, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love and mercy. And we pray, Father, that you will pour out your Spirit. That your love, your protection, Father, would be upon all these children at this time. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Okay, so we are now going to continue our time together by singing a second song.
Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall, but you have never failed me yet. Waiting for change to me yet.
words will come to pass. My heart will sing your praise again. Jesus, you're still enough.
The Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 to the end, in the New Living Translation. That evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. "Peace be with you," he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side, and they were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Again, he said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." Then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the Twin, was not with the others when Jesus came. They told him, "We have seen the Lord," but he replied, "I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands, put my fingers into them, and place my hand into the wound in his side." 8 days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. "Peace be with you," he said. And then he said to Thomas, "Put your fingers here, look at my hands, put your hand into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer, believe." "My Lord and my God," Thomas exclaimed. And then Jesus told him, "You believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me." The disciples saw Jesus do many other miraculous signs in addition to the ones recorded in this book. But those are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name.
Thank you, Kay. So here we are, we're a week after Easter, we're a week after Jesus has risen from the dead, from Jesus first appearing to Mary. And we look now to the scriptures and we begin this period leading up to Pentecost, to the point when Jesus ascends to the Father, when the Holy Spirit is given and anoints the disciples. The point in time when Jesus appears to reassure, to reaffirm the things that he said. So, beginning this passage, we're still on Easter Sunday, we're still in the evening, and we find that the disciples are locked away. They're in fear, they're frightened. The same authorities that have arrested Jesus, that have had him beaten, and have had him crucified, are still out there, and they're thinking, "So, what now? What about us? Jesus, our hope is gone." And then they hear the report of the women to say, "He is risen. He is risen. He's not dead anymore. He's not in the grave. He is alive." And then Jesus stands among them, and the first thing he says, "Peace be with you." Peace is something I think is probably in very short supply at the moment in this world. And peace is something that's a very precious commodity. Peace is something that we're all desperately in need of. And peace is something that we find through Jesus, through hoping and trusting in him. Those of you that are part of the Alive family, those of you that know me, will know that this week I've lost a work colleague. Somebody that I travelled to work with every day in the car, somebody that I got to know very well over the last few years, died in hospital this week. Today I've seen a message from the chief executive of the company I work for, who specifically mentioned him by name. The company I work for has got somewhere in excess of 13,000 employees, which means he's the first one in our company to die in this way. Peace is something that we cannot expect to have in this world. Jesus did not promise that life would be easy. Jesus did not promise that everything would be a bed of roses. But what he did promise was that we could have peace through him, and we would find life, and we could have life in its fullness in him. And this is what he's beginning to say to the disciples here. He'd been saying it, of course, for all the 3 years that he'd been with them, but now is different. Now is a time when everything that he's been saying over the last 3 years is coming to fruition. And he is saying that there is only one way, and he is doing the will of the Father. But that by being with them physically in the body, he can only be with them. But by his Holy Spirit, he can be with all believers. He breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our hope, our assurance that Jesus is alive, our assurance that we are saved, our assurance that we have life. But that hope, that joy, that peace that comes from knowing Jesus is made real to us and is confirmed to us by the Holy Spirit. This isn't the Holy Spirit that we see coming at Pentecost when the disciples are anointed to move in great acts of power, but this is the gift of the Holy Spirit that every believer receives at the point of faith when they understand who Jesus is and they acknowledge him as Lord and Saviour. We also see in this passage Thomas. Thomas was not with the disciples when Jesus first appeared to them in that locked room. Thomas, like I'm sure a great many of us, had doubts. He had fears. He said, I'm not going to believe until I can put my finger in his hands and put my hand in his side. So a week later, Jesus appears again and Thomas is with them. And he says, don't be faithless any longer, believe in the New Living Translation, or stop doubting and believe in many other translations. And Thomas at this point says, my Lord and my God. And Jesus says, you've believed because you've seen. Blessed are those going to be who believe without seeing. And that's where we are, and this is where the Holy Spirit comes in. Yes, we can be convinced by intellectual argument, but it's the Holy Spirit who confirms to our hearts, who confirms with peace and joy that Jesus is alive, that Jesus has brought life, that Jesus is our Lord and Saviour, that whatever happens in this world, that this isn't all there is, that we have hope for a future with him. Romans chapter 8 verse 18 talks about the glory that is to be that will be revealed in us by him, by Lord Jesus. Or as the J.B. Phillips translation puts it, something that I particularly like, that the sufferings of the present time are not worthy to be compared with the magnificent future God has planned for us. So don't be worried, don't be frightened about what today brings, what tomorrow brings, because for the believer, the one who trusts in the Lord Jesus, who has asked him to be Lord and Saviour, who has asked for forgiveness of sin, there is a magnificent future that awaits us. We have hope and joy, and that means we can have peace now because we know that this life is not all there is. We know that we are not restricted or bound by what goes on in this world, but that we have an eternity with our Father. We have an eternity with Jesus, and that great joy is not only awaiting us then, but great joy can be ours now. Going back to Thomas, doubt, can't see it, can't touch it. How do I know it's real? Well, there are lots of things in this life, lots of things in this world that we can't see, we can't feel, we can't touch. How do we know they're real? We see them by their effects. The coronavirus is perhaps just the latest. We can't see it, we can't touch it, but we know it's real by the effect it has on people. The Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit that he bestows on each believer. Again, we can't see, we can't touch, but we know he's real. The same way we know Jesus is real, because the effect that we feel, the effect that we know and what he has on our life, that the peace he brings, the joy he brings. So the disciples, they experienced Jesus close up firsthand. Jesus ascended to be with the Father, but he sent the Holy Spirit, that we could have that promise, that assurance that he is alive, that we have hope that is certain and secure, and that we can be the hands and feet of Jesus on the world around us. That in that way, Jesus can be in many places at once, not just restricted to his physical presence. So don't fear, trust, don't fear. Call on the name of Jesus and his peace will be with you. If you're in need of prayer, remember that Alive, we have a prayer chain. We have people who will pray for you, people who can pray for you. Submit your request for prayer using the email address prayer@alivecm.org.uk, and people will pray for you. The reminder for that email address can be found on the Alive webpage under the heading prayer. Jesus came for all men. Jesus came not only for the disciples and the people of that age, but he came that all might come to the knowledge of him, that all might be saved. Through his death, his resurrection, through the price he paid on the cross for us, we can have forgiveness of sin. We can have life. We can have hope. We can have peace. We can have a magnificent future in glory with him, as the J.B. Phillips translation puts it. We have a hope. It doesn't mean to say that this life is not going to be without its troubles. It doesn't mean to say that this life is not going to be without problems, without sickness. But what it does mean is that there is a glorious future waiting for us. That when we get to heaven, we will be with him forever. So be grateful, be thankful. Rejoice in the hope that we have in Jesus, because he brings life. He is the one who brings life to us. And that's what that last verse of chapter 20 of the Gospel of John that Kay read, verse 31, says, that by believing you might have life in his name. It's in the name of Jesus we have life. It's in the name of Jesus we have hope. Let's sing our last song together. And finally, let's pray. Father, we pray for the government of this country. Father, we pray that you would give them wisdom, you would give them inspiration. Lord, that they would do the right things to protect the people of this land. Father, we pray for our National Health Service. Father, we pray for all the doctors and nurses, for all the orderlies, for all the people involved in hospitals. Father, we pray for the supply chains that are keeping the supplies running to and from them. Father, we pray for pharmacies. Father, we pray for care workers. We pray for doctor surgeries. Father, we pray for the care workers who are not only working in care homes, Father, but those that go from house to house providing personal care. Lord, we pray for your blessing, your protection upon everybody in the care service as they're protecting people in need. Father, we pray for supplies of all the personal protective equipment that all these people need, Father, to keep them safe, that you would make sure, Lord, that those supplies are there when they're needed. Lord, we pray that you would give wisdom and inspiration to those searching for a way to stop the virus, for vaccines, for medications, Lord, that a way would be found, Lord, that most of all that you would stop the virus, Lord. And finally, we pray for grace, and together we say the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and evermore. Amen.